She's been instrumental in creating a lot of 4 Acres services and philosophy. She's passionate about the power of the nonprofit sector to change lives. Last year, I was actually had the opportunity to see Lori speak in front of House Finance. And as soon as she got done, I made sure that I shot her a text and said, hey, I need you to come and speak to the forum. She did an excellent job with that. Hopefully people will learn some things today, and she will be around for a little bit afterwards, so folks that have questions will be more than able to ask her questions. But let's give a nice warm welcome to Lori Wolf.
Always fun to be part of the lunch crowd, so I appreciate that. For those of you in the back who are still getting your lunch, I welcome you to come back to your seats. Don't be intimidated by that. I'm going to see if I can catch you back up to your schedule. I'm not sure that I can, but I'm going to do my best because Kara's coming after me, and you're definitely going to want to hear from her. So again, thanks for the opportunity to come and speak with you today. We spend a lot of time here on the peninsula, and it's fun to be back today. It was a little hit and miss with the snow today, but that's usually how that goes. We lost our screen. I'm going to get our screen back. There we go. Always fun there. So I am Lori Wolf. I'm the president and CEO of the 4-Acre Group. And for those of you that don't know about 4-Acre, 4-Acre is a nonprofit. Our goal is to strengthen nonprofits across the state of Alaska. We're going to have fun screen problems today. That's going to be great. We do that in four primary ways. We provide an educational line of business where we train board staff and volunteers across the state of Alaska, both online and in person. We have a whole range of educational opportunities available. We provide what the rest of the world would call consulting. We call that organizational development. One-on-one customized work for boards and staff across the state of Alaska. We provide consolidated or back office services in a number of ways. For example, we're the accounting department for over 90 different nonprofits and tribes across the state. And we consolidate those services so nonprofits can focus on what they do best, which is mission. And then we are also the state nonprofit association. So not every state has a state nonprofit association, but Alaska does, and we're it. And what that means is that we get to focus on nonpartisan advocacy on behalf of the nonprofit sector, which is how I found myself in front of House Finance last session, and we'll find myself again there this session. We do a ton of research, and I'm gonna share with you, you are getting hot off the presses. No one else in Alaska has seen this. We just finished working on it just last week, so you're gonna have the first preview. I'm gonna call it a draft. I'm gonna call you all the test group about how that draft goes, because we do an economic report every 3 years, and you're gonna be the first ones to see it. We also work on some statewide initiatives across the state, and a couple of people have already come up and talked to me about some of those initiatives that might be percolating this year as well. So our job is to be in partnership with board staff and volunteers and donors and policymakers across the state of Alaska. We are interested in partnering with government, with the for-profit, and with the nonprofit industries of Alaska to make Alaska work. So most of the work that we do, most of the work I get to spend my time talking with nonprofit boards and staff is something we call our nonprofit sustainability model. This is the basis for all of our work. I'm not going to describe it to you today, but just to understand that we believe that sustainability is a journey, not a destination. Nobody is ever getting to this magical place called sustainability, clapping their hands, saying yay, and going home. We're all in this for the journey, and it's based on being able to make the right set of decisions at the right time by looking through a set of lenses that we ask those questions around. Part of being able to make good decisions is having really good data. And that is something that this sector and really good chunks of Alaska and the rest of our country really lack. So our job is to try to create some context with this data that we're going to share with you today. So my hope for our time today, no matter how brief, is that you feel like you are gonna be more involved in a statewide conversation. Again, you're the first of what I hope to be many statewide conversations that we get to have around this new economic data. We encourage you to share this learning based on the data and clarify any new information. Maybe we'll even do a little myth busting today. We're gonna create some more, we wanna create with you opportunities for Alaska nonprofits to be part of the creative solutions to our challenging economies. And we wanna engage partnerships across the sectors, government, industry, et cetera, for some shared responsibility and accountability. And finally, I'll close today with inviting you to look at new ways that we can work together to create vibrant communities and tackle our challenges together. So Alaska's nonprofit sector represents a wide range of organizations that provide public service and have an impact on the lives of nearly everyone living in our state. Although most Alaskans do not think of nonprofits as an economic powerhouse, they play a critical role in the state's economy, both as a major employers and as revenue generators. No industry in Alaska can prosper without the strength of the nonprofit sector. We provide both a financial and social return on investment by leveraging public and private resources. We are part of the healthcare, utilities, fisheries, oil and gas industries. We provide essential services such as firefighting and early childcare, basic utilities, housing and food security, just to name a few. We are the safety net across Alaska. Every Alaskan family is the beneficiary of a nonprofit because nonprofits are woven into the fabric of our communities, including right here in the peninsula. When you or other policymakers make decisions, create policy, or develop programs to advance the public good, we urge you to remember that you are having an impact on the health of the nonprofit sector when you do that. Faced with a troubled economy, nonprofit organizations are getting super creative. We are spurring innovation and we are creating efficiencies. But we can't do all that needs to be done in our communities and for Alaskans with diminishing support, financial or otherwise. The state's safety net, quality of life, and employment will only thrive when there's an equitable state fiscal plan. We are ready to work with you in all the way, in all the hats you have on today as partners on that plan. It's the only way we're going to achieve a strong overall economy for all Alaskans. So I want to just take a second and talk to about, I'm going to share some data with you, and I want to just say a little bit about how we gather this data. This is the fourth economic study that we've conducted for at the 4-Acre Group. We do this every 3 years. We embark on a significant analysis to better inform policymakers, business leaders, and the nonprofit sector about the impact of the sector. This report requires an enormous amount of research to produce because there's no single source of information for the nonprofit sector in Alaska or across the country. We are confident that we are using the best and most trusted sources available, both for raw data and research from the field, including the IRS, the State of Alaska, the Census Bureau, the National Center for Charitable Statistics, the Institute of Social and Economic Research, the University of Alaska Anchorage, and our new partners at the Center for Economic Development, which is a program of the UAA Business Enterprise Institute. So what you see in front of you is brand new, hot off the presses, the total of nonprofits that are in Alaska. We use, you're gonna see both 2016 and 2015 data in here because those are the last most complete data sets that we have access to. As soon as we get new data, we bring it into this, but these are the ones that have complete data sets. So while most people think that nonprofits think about nonprofits as only the 501c3s or the charitable nonprofits with missions like healthcare and arts and conservation and education, there are many others. And while the majority, about 70% of all Alaska nonprofits, are charitable, it's important to note that other types of nonprofits that are important to our and contributors to our economy. These other nonprofits include 501c4s or social welfare organizations, 501c6s, which are like business leagues, like the Chamber of Commerce, 501c12s, which are electric utilities, and 501c14s, which are things like state-created credit unions. I invite you to look around and see the nonprofits that impact your life every day in Alaska. We are working hard alongside you to make Alaska work. Understanding the total number of nonprofits in our last report, we noted that the number of nonprofit organizations in Alaska had fallen significantly between 2007 and 2013. In large part, this was a result of the 2010 IRS rule that disbands nonprofits if they fail to submit a tax form 990 for 3 years in a row. Because so many of our nonprofits are small and don't have staff, nonprofits were getting swept off the rolls because of this rule. With continued enforcement of the three-year rule is resulting in nonprofits disbanding, the introduction of the IRS nonprofit filing form to become a nonprofit in 2014 simultaneously made it easier to form a nonprofit, and they approve roughly 99% of those applications. And we are still getting phone calls every single day at 4-Acre about people wanting to start new nonprofits. A good day for us is when we talk them out of that. These two trends are offsetting each other, and the result is flat growth. And I don't want to say, like, sometimes we do need new organizations, but sometimes we don't. And we're really trying to focus on connecting the dots more and more for people. The new data shows that between 2013 and 2016, the total number of nonprofits in Alaska stayed flat at roughly 5,700 organizations. Of these, the 501c3 organizations did decrease, but they were offset by other nonprofit classes, and you can see that in the data. Because of this, there now exists one nonprofit for every 130 Alaskans, in compared to what it used to be, which is one nonprofit for every 100 Alaskans. So maybe we're making some progress. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder on that one, for sure. So nonprofits are part of a solution to a healthy economy, and I'm going to spend the rest of our time together really pulling apart these notions, these five ways that we can be part of the solution. So we believe that nonprofits are a major economic driver. We believe, I'm just going to click through this. Right there. There we go. So nonprofits are a major economic driver. Nonprofits leverage public funds for maximum return. Nonprofits partner with government in delivering essential services across Alaska. We partner and provide community investment and civic engagement. We ensure community well-being and quality of life. So these five attributes illustrate our commitment to Alaska's economy. It's a challenging time in our state. No surprise there. Endless hours of creativity, hard work, and strategic vision stand behind every positive story that I will share in this, in our conversation today, but in the report that will follow soon. We know our safety net is thin, our resources are short, and the tendency of local, state, and federal governments toward indiscriminate cutting rather than investing is high. Today, we hope to change that story. So when we think about how nonprofits are a major economic driver, we understand that we are responsible for creating jobs in Alaska. We often lose sight of these impacts because nonprofits are not seen as an industry. Additionally, when we track jobs by industry at the state level, at the Department of Labor, for example, there is no distinction of where the work originates or who does the work. We just talk about an industry as if it's all one thing, and usually the default is it's all for-profit industry, and that we can see that both in fisheries and oil and gas and all sorts of other things. So, for example, when we talk about fisheries, it's as if we talk about it as at one sector. And in fact, it takes all three sectors of our economy for fisheries to be successful. This is also true for other aspects of the workforce, and we'll see more examples of that in a few minutes. What is true is that nonprofits are integral to your economy and to the state's economy. In rural Alaska, nonprofits are often the largest source of employment, accounting for nearly half of all the jobs in a region. Nonprofits play key roles in strengthening the state's overall, the state's largest industries. Without hyperbole, it is not possible for government at any level or any for-profit industry to do their work without a vibrant nonprofit sector. We are in this together. So let's take a little look at some of this. So in 2015, the nonprofit sector directly employed about 44,000 Alaskans. Counting indirect and induced effects, nonprofits were responsible for sustaining 66,000, almost 67,000 jobs in the state. If nonprofits were treated as its own industry, they would be the second largest source of non-government employment behind oil and gas. Much like Alaska's oil and gas, fisheries, and tourism industries, the nonprofit sector generates jobs for numerous individuals not directly employed by the sector. When nonprofits spend money on supplies, services, or payroll, it circulates through households and businesses around the state. This flow of money creates more jobs. Based on the standard economic model used by all the other leading industries, the total number of jobs tied to the nonprofit sector, again, 68,000. If we translate that to money, these jobs translate to $3.8 billion in total income generated by the nonprofit sector, again, which ripples through our economy. And this, again, is a pretty conservative estimate because it's just based on wages and salaries and not based on the other revenue that we might generate. So where do they work? This will probably come as no surprise to the healthcare folks in the room. Healthcare is definitely driving this conversation across the state of Alaska. Again, determining precise employment figures for the sector is difficult because the most reliable data is from the U.S. Bureau of Labor and Statistics, and again, they fail to distinguish nonprofit employment from other non-government employment, and so we have to do a lot of pulling apart. For the first time, this report, though, does employ a new technique to estimate nonprofit employment by using customized analysis by the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development and the Center for Economic Development. And we're very grateful to the state for participating with us in this report for the very first time to give us more real-time data. As in the past, healthcare continues to be the largest employer in the state. And interestingly, the most recent data from the Department of Labor may actually be our canary in our coal mine, because they're telling us that in the first 6 months of 2017, that we are starting to see a dramatic decline in the social assistance employment arena, which we assume are mostly nonprofits. So there's a bit of canary in our coal mine here. It's not all good news. When we look at how nonprofit jobs are distributed across Alaska, this is a bit hard to see up here, but a little bit better on that screen back there, I can notice. But nationwide, nonprofits employ about 10% of the workforce. Nonprofits in Alaska make up 17% of the overall workforce, with over a quarter of the non-government employment in the state being tied to nonprofits through indirect and induced effects. However, in rural Alaska, nonprofits are responsible for nearly half of the employment. 12 of the 30 boroughs and census areas, nonprofits provide 20% or more of all employment. This is largely because of the importance of the tribal health system, which is run by nonprofits and is the key employer in these areas. If you're curious and you can't see the screen, Kenai, we employ about 23% of the workforce is the nonprofit sector on the Kenai Peninsula. Reflected in these numbers are the physical location for the very first time. So it used to be the way we track the data is that if you were a statewide organization and you had people all over the place, but you were in Anchorage, your jobs looked like they were in Anchorage. For the first time ever, these are real time where people are actually working, regardless of where their company is stationed. So this is a significant change in the report that we're pretty excited about. Again, just to see that comparison to other sectors of our economy and what we think of when we think of industry, if we line up the nonprofit sector there, you can see how it compares to oil and gas and fisheries and tourism when we use the same economic modeling that they use to talk about indirect and induced rates. So in fact, only oil and gas industry supports more jobs than the nonprofit sector, with 1 in 6 jobs, as opposed to the nonprofit sector, which is 1 in 4 jobs. So this slide will be super hard to see, and I'll just apologize for that in advance. I'm excited to give you the paper version of this soon. But this is a really fun analysis of all of the supporting nonprofits for each of the major industries of Alaska and how we are a part of those conversations. So nonprofits are contributing to the Alaska's economy by playing a critical role in holding up and supporting all these other industries that we think about when we think about our economy. From industry associations engaging in policymaking, you'll hear from Kara right after me, to local convention and visitors bureaus marketing their communities, to nonprofits are contributing to the vitality of commercial enterprises. For the business community, nonprofits are often a vehicle for collaboration to improve the business climate or pursue shared objectives like visitor marketing. And in some cases, the major players in an industry are the nonprofits themselves, such as hospitals, credit unions, and the largest of our electric utilities. Additionally, Alaska's seafood industry hosts unique entities like aquaculture associations, which you have one here in the Kenai, or two, and community development quota, or CDQ groups, that generate revenue for community investments through fisheries and then distribute them, and they are all nonprofits. Nonprofits leverage public funds for maximum return. So Alaska's nonprofits are resourceful and innovative, and many nonprofits struggle to meet the increasing demand for services. As the state faces fiscal decline and a decrease in federal funds, nonprofits are doing their best to use limited public resources judiciously to leverage additional resources. So this is a public-private partnership that must continue. If we look at how nonprofits generate revenue, Nonprofit revenues increased by a modest 6% between 2013 and 2016, which is roughly equal to the rate of inflation over that same three-year period. Revenue is up slightly from 2012 from $6.5 billion to $6.98 billion, and the greatest increase was seen in the 501c4 organizations, and most others are remaining fairly stable. Revenues to charitable nonprofits increased by about 9% overall. At the same time, the state economic output, as measured by the GDP, fell about 15%. This signifies that nonprofits are a stabilizing force in our economy. So nonprofits are definitely diversifying, are doing their best to diversify and leverage these resources. So hopefully you can see some of these slides. Then this may be really surprising to you about how nonprofits generate their revenue. As part of the relationship with government, some nonprofits receive government grants, not all of them, but some of them, to carry out their missions. These funds are only a part of the financial health of organizations, and regardless of their size, they help leverage additional resources. Nonprofits strive for diversification to remain financially stable. To that end, nonprofits focus on generating revenue from philanthropy and/or fees for service or mission-based earned income. Examples of earned income include insurance reimbursement, tuition, or program fees. In 2015, earned income made up 60% of nonprofit revenue. Donations, membership fees, government grants, and other types of contributions combined made up 35% of nonprofit revenue in 2016. Unfortunately, the exact breakdown between these different sources is unavailable for Alaska nonprofits. All other revenues, such as gaming, investments, and fundraising events, are grouped as other revenue by the IRS and in total account for 5% of Alaska nonprofit revenue. And this is usually the place where we do some myth busting, because both nonprofits and the people who support them often believe that the fundraising events are going to be kind of their savior to the day. And if you spend about five more minutes with 4-Acre at any moment, you'll find out we have a lot to say more about that at some other time. So nonprofits also do take federal assistance like everyone else, but again, maybe some myth-busting is about how much of that take there is. So importantly, again, helpful to remember that all sectors of Alaska rely on support from the federal government, and each sector uses these funds to leverage other funding opportunities. In 2016, nonprofits received less than 20% of the money awarded to Alaska. The largest share went to state and local government. Now, some state and local governments may be turning around and redistributing that to the nonprofit sector, but there is no way for us to know that unless we went one grant by grant by grant by grant, and well, nobody has time to do that. So often state funds trigger federal funding to the sector or vice versa. So leveraging funding sources is a key strategy for a diversified budget for our sector. We have charted great examples of some win-win systems in areas like independent living, where the state could spend $300,000 a year to house a single person in a nursing home, or they could invest in the nonprofits that are focused on independent living, where that nonprofit spends only $18,000 a year for the same person to live independently. We've also seen save for a lifetime in our state when the state invests in early childhood education. For example, for every dollar they spend, they save $3 overall. So we do have some examples all across our state. Last year, our call to action to the nonprofit sector was do your math. Really understand how you're saving the state money, where and how you're leveraging those dollars. And we had many nonprofits who took that call to action quite seriously, and we're excited to present that data to you in the final report. So nonprofits are partners to government in delivering essential services. Every day, nonprofit organizations work hand in hand with government at every level, local, state, tribal, to deliver essential services. Governments often contract with nonprofits to perform these key responsibilities both efficiently and effectively. Particularly in rural and unincorporated parts of the state, nonprofit organizations fulfill a variety of critical public services normally associated with state and local government, like public safety, water and sanitation, fire service, and workforce development. The social safety net created by the sector makes urban and rural life possible in Alaska. This is the time to infuse government resources into nonprofit organizations as a way to leverage and maximize every investment. One example of this is with the volunteer fire department, and I'll just highlight them really quickly. So we took some time to interview the Esther Volunteer Fire Department just outside of Fairbanks. Like hundreds of communities across Alaska with a limited tax base and no municipal government, the community cannot afford to hire firefighters to cover its 30 square mile service area. Instead, it relies on nonprofit structures that include 3 paid staff and 32 highly trained volunteers. I'll take a moment from the chief, who calculated that for every dollar received in borough or government funds, they leverage $2 in volunteer hours. If they were to pay for that, comparable firefighter salaries to do the same work would cost this small nonprofit roughly $800,000 a year. So this is just one example of, well, we have at least 50 different volunteer firefighters, nonprofits across the state. And the report is full of just more examples like this. So nonprofits are also providing community investment and civic engagement opportunities. The economic engine of philanthropy from foundations, corporations, and individuals have a powerful influence on program infrastructure, education, and jobs across Alaska. Philanthropy often leverages other investments. We need to be realistic and excited about the possibilities for growth. And we need to understand how individual, corporate, and private philanthropy plays a role, but cannot replace the responsibility of local, state, and federal government. In order to grow civic engagement overall, we need to work together to encourage and grow philanthropy of all kinds, not stifle it. I'm not going to share all the philanthropy data with you today, but I will share some of the volunteer data that we have. Healthy and happy communities are often cited globally as having strong and active civic participation, including volunteerism and charitable giving. Individual Alaskans rank 4th in the nation in volunteerism, and giving happens informally every day across the state. On the philanthropy front, data from the IRS indicates that about 22% of Alaskans who itemize their personal income taxes contribute less than the U.S. average. That's the bad news. This is true across all income levels, with 16% of Alaskan tax returns showing charitable contributions versus the U.S. average of 24%. It should be noted, however, that this data does not capture contributions by individuals who do not itemize their tax returns or those who give financially to in their communities not associated with a 501c3 organization. With the advent of tax reform, we will have less ability to track charitable impact, as Americans will be less likely to itemize. Nonetheless, Alaska nonprofits will continue to encourage and advance philanthropy, and no one should panic. There's a lot of panicking messages going on out there about tax reform. No one should panic. Nonprofits should focus on the thing that they do best, which is connecting to donors who give for all sorts of reasons. Again, only 22% of Alaskans itemized in the past, so being able to itemize is not the incentive that Alaskans need to give. State and local governments, along with large and small businesses in Alaska, can also do more to encourage local philanthropy by highlighting the importance of giving, promoting pick-click-give as a working strategy, and steering clear of sales tax gimmicks that snare local fundraising events and other nonprofits. Alaska has the potential to grow individual philanthropy, but it will take all of us to make it happen. And finally, nonprofits ensure community well-being and quality of life. So nonprofits are the safety net across Alaska. They provide critical support to individuals for things like medical services, housing, and energy, as we've talked about. They also ensure our quality of life through arts, religious expression, cultural expression, education, and recreation. As a partner to local government and corporate industry, nonprofits care for our people, our pets, our planet, and we have a commitment to a healthy and more prosperous communities. This is the, I'm about to show you a slide that is massively under development, but I just wanted to show you, the chaos alone will tell you why we need to fix it. So fun. I asked our graphics person to just show what happens every day in Alaska when we interact with nonprofits, and the chaos, I think, is telling about, and I thought, oh, I'm not going to show that. But then I thought, you know what, that's a good metaphor for what's actually happening. Like, we are just surrounded by nonprofits every single day in our lives. And if you just take just a second to think about all the nonprofits that you run into every single day, just in your regular course of business, and just moving through your life, you'll find that it might actually look like this slide. So indeed, nonprofits across Alaska are so prevalent in our communities that they often go unnoticed. Yet many of the services we take for granted depend on nonprofit organizations. Alaska's nonprofits are true contributors to Alaska's quality of life, our health, and our economy today, and well into our future. And together, we make Alaska work. So what now? I think I've managed to catch you up, so I'm going to slow down for a second and say, What do we do with all this information? So the first thing I'd love for you to do is use the data. We're gonna have a lot more data for you. We'll be distributing it widely as soon as we're done kind of working out all the kinks and all of that fun stuff. But use the data to better understand the economic impact of Alaska nonprofits in your own communities and statewide as you develop public policy. I know I have many, many public policy folks in this room today. You're working at every level of government, and just encourage you to use real data. And if we can be a source of that, then great. We want to engage, we'd love for you to engage nonprofit leaders in finding solutions. This was my plea in front of House Finance. Don't just decide what's right for us. Invite us to the table. We're pretty darn creative. We have really great ideas. We can tell you what needs to be cut. We're not afraid of that, but we need a scalpel, not a hatchet. So invite us to the table and ask us where the cutting can happen. Ask us where the economy of scale is. Ask us how we can be more efficient, both for the government and for the nonprofit sector, and most importantly, for the people that we serve, which are Alaskans. Use examples that we'll be putting out, like the one from Esther, as a reminder that the sector is a place for innovation and opportunity if we nurture it rather than stifle it. There are a lot of really not great strategies going on at local government levels who are panicking about what's going on in their economy. And who they're panicking with is our sector. And that's not helpful. And in the long run, that's a nose to spite your face problem, right? You will end up spending more money to deliver those services. So really thinking about how we use those examples to make better decisions. Use your position of influence to ensure that we stabilize the safety net, secure our points of leverage, and collaborate to maximize our resources. I often say a thing about collaboration is that we move at the speed of trust. And so partly we're gonna just have to sit down together, drink a little bit more coffee, and build some more trust. And that's not gonna happen at an assembly meeting or at a borough meeting. We're gonna have to do that offline. We're gonna have to work on those relationships to come to the table together. And we are asking, I think as many of you, no industry wants instability, and the nonprofit sector including them. We want, just like you want, a long-term fiscal plan for Alaska to ensure a vibrant place for all Alaskans to work, to grow, and to engage. I don't think that makes us any different than what every other industry wants. No, nobody likes instability. How we get there, we'll let other people decide how we get there. We want to be part of that conversation. We believe that we have conversations to add to those conversations, to those solutions. So as partners, we can set policy and make financial decisions, or you can set policy and make financial decisions that ensure Alaskans are healthy and our communities are strong. And we are ready to partner with you. Thank you for your time today. Did my best to catch you up. I think I did it.
You always take good care of yourself. Do you want to answer a question? Does anybody have any questions?
As soon as I have that data for you, I will get it to you. So, like I said, you are 200 guinea pigs in the room. Yay! So we are about to publish the data. And we will make it widely available. And then we're going on the road. You're the first without my, I promised Tim here, but I didn't have it. We will have it in print. We'll have it in PDF. You can download it. You can ask us to think about what it looks like for your specific industry. I don't have it yet, but it's coming soon. And we will go on a circuit. We're going to do the Chamber Rotary circuit all across Alaska. We'd love to come and talk to your specific organizations. Historically, when we've had these reports over, when we've launched them, some nonprofits connect together and we come and do some community programming. But really, if you know opportunities for us to come and bring more data with us, we're all ears. And I've got some cards and I'm happy to talk with you after.
We're also going to make sure that there's a link back and forth between the KPED website and Lori and 4-Acre. Again, thank you very much for fitting us in. We appreciate it.